Good morning. It's always a good morning, right? Always a good morning. If you open your eyes, get another day. I missed y'all last week when I was off on my healing retreat. I didn't really know what I heard everything went wrong. I'm just thinking. Somebody was telling me he was saying trash. He's talking smack like he does when I'm not here. Do we expect anything different, right? It's Tommy. That's okay. That's all right. I wasn't worried about y'all one bit. I'm so thankful to have Herman be able to play and lead so that I could go and do that, you know? Oh, he's not even in here. They're clapping for you, Herman. I was saying I'm so thankful to have you be able to play and lead music and worship for us when I'm not here. And so we're believing for more musicians. And you can believe with us too, right? We're calling in from the north, south, east, and west. We need a backup drummer. We need an electric guitarist. We need a bass player. Sax player, I mean, whatever the Holy Spirit has, banjo, and a hobo. Okay, pastors are getting into folk music. That's all right. It is the folk music capital of the world, they say, right? Anyway, so thankful. I'm just thankful for the Spirit, whether we have instruments or not. Amen, because He is faithful. Woo! I tell you, in intercessory prayer this morning, I went away. Well, I was here on the front row, but I was caught up into the heavenlies, into that beautiful space that He used to take me as a child, where peace and love and strength flowed. And that's when we were in. So then after intercessory prayer, I was greeting people. We start praise and worship, and I go there again. And I could just see. How many of you felt strength come into you? I felt like this big fist of strength come like right into your gut and just kind of rise up. Because you know what you have on the inside of you is Him. We don't ask heaven to come down. I ask heaven to rise up. And the only really illusion or disillusionment we have is that He's out there somewhere, and we need to get Him to work on our behalf. He's on the inside of us, and He needs to get you to understand that so you can let Him out, so He can rise up. And that's what I saw. I saw the strength, a fist of strength just coming into, like, right below your diaphragm and just pushing that strength up that you need, pushing that strength to take on that battle you've been facing, that you've grown weary from, that you're tired of, that the enemy is defeated. Amen. And then I begin to see this liquid gold, like milk and honey. Ever seen milk and honey mixed together? That's what it looked like. And it was just flowing. But I didn't see it like, I know it's on the top of our head, but I didn't see it. I see it on the brain. I saw it just covering our brains. And where trauma and disappointment and heartache has caused our brains and those neuron pathways to break, I saw that just soothing us and healing us. How many of you felt it? I believe you're going to see it. Not only did, maybe you didn't even feel it, because you know what? It's not what you feel. It isn't about, it's so wonderful when we feel, it's so wonderful when we get the goosies, you know, and hair standing up on the back of your head. It's all wonderful. That's all great, right? I get woozy like I'm hooked up to some kind of liquid IV of drugs, you know. I get all woozy. But even when you don't feel the goosies, and even when you don't feel the liquid IV of His glory, what I was in awe of was that hush. Did you recognize the hush? The very presence, the heaviness of his weighted glory came in. It was a hush in the room. So beautiful. Never lose the wonder of that. Never take for granted what we get to have in this place. Many churches don't allow it because it messes up the order. It messes up, and pastors don't know how to explain it. Because we don't know what we don't know, but we're learning what we don't know. And we're growing into what we don't know. And he's teaching us. Never lose the wonder. It's a word written. Whatever season you are in, I put you there, so embrace it. Do not fight it, for this season is meant to help you. It might be hard, but I'm with you. Every season has a purpose. So remember, I'm with you. Embrace your season and grow. Ecclesiastes 3:1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. It's a good word. You know, if you're in a hard season, keep pressing. If you're in a difficult season, keep sowing, believing, hoping, because it doesn't stay that way forever. It does get better. Amen. Well, I want to remind everybody as we prepare for our worship with our tithes and offerings, there are envelopes in front of you if you want to give by cash or check. There's also the Tithely app that the QR code will, you can click on and it'll take you straight there. That is also on our Facebook page. It is pinged at the top of the Facebook page, so if you ever are out of town or want to go somewhere but you still want to do your tithes, you can go to that Facebook page. And I'm going to find a way to get it onto our website, arisechurch.cc. This morning, Pastor is still continuing on. No? It's shifting seasons. Okay, well, it says next week, so I was confused. Somebody wrote next week. Oh, was these last weeks? Okay, gotcha. Okay, so this week, not next week, today, starting in October, shifting seasons. Shifting seasons. The word from... Oh. Whatever season you are in, I put you there. Wow. Wow, wow. God is so faithful. Do not fight it, for this season is meant to help you. It might be hard, but I am with you. Every season has a purpose. So remember, I am with you. Embrace your season and grow. And today is shifting seasons. Okay. It's like God knew. He does. Kids Church is, let me pray over the offering. And we'll pray over people that are out sick. So, Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you that we are family. That there doesn't need to be pretenses here. That we can just be face-to-face with you and face-to-face with one another. And be wrapped in your goodness and kindness and love for you and one another. I thank you, Father, for this offering. I thank you for the sowers and the people that are giving. Lord, we pray for all of our church family and extended family and anyone that's connected to this church by way of family or relationship and friendship, that health and life be restored abundantly, that every sick body would be completely healed, that you would raise up, Lord, where doctors have said there's no hope. Lord, we know that you are the hope giver. You are the healer, the restorer of all things. So I just release that. I release your hope and your healing into every person connected with Arise Church. And that they would begin to even experience now your goodness where they are at. In Jesus' name, amen. Kids Church, you are dismissed. They are doing Growing Up in God. It is a fantastic curriculum of teaching our children how to hear God and how to act on what they hear. It is a fantastic learning experience back there in that we did it. I don't know. It's probably been 10 years ago we did it, and it blew my mind. I got to go back and hang out with them. And what those children were moving. One little girl gave me a prophetic word. It was amazing. It was amazing. God is growing all of us and even our children. So hopefully that next generation will be stronger than we ever were. Amen. Okay. All right. Oh, I do have one more announcement. I need help. Smile one may know. I have a friend who has been sick. She was in a house full of mold, and she continued to stay there. It's made her very ill. She's finally left. Her husband left her for adultery, and it's devastated her. So you can imagine physical abuse and body issues, and then the mental anguish of that happening. She'd been married 20, 30 years. And very ill. She went to a shelter in Heber, and they have helped her get an apartment. She slept on the floor of her apartment on Friday night, not knowing that there was a lot of dust and things, and got very sick. She has COPD. She had pneumonia a couple of weeks ago from the mold in her house. She ended up in the ER last night. And she texted me, and we went and bought her a cot. I was going to put her in a hotel here, but she preferred a cot that she can sleep on till we can get her bed and dresser or chest of drawers to her. And so I need, if we have any men that could have a truck and a couple of men that could help us move her bed so she's not on the cot. Right, and that's the thing too. Many of y'all don't know, he was in the hospital a week ago with doing some a test, and because he hurt himself bending and twisting and lifting. So Tommy doesn't need to be twisting and bending and lifting. But if we have a couple of men that can help us tomorrow get her bed and dress, two Chester drawers. It's two Chester drawers and a bed. From Mountain View to Heber, please talk to us about it. I told Tommy, we're always talking about needing to reach out and reach down to those that are cast away or cast aside or struggling. And this is our opportunity, y'all. This is our opportunity. She actually came to church probably a month or two ago. She was here. She sat over here on the front on this side. And so I just want to pour out love on her. I said to her, do you have a pillow? And she said, how did you know I don't have a pillow? And I was like, I know Holy Spirit told me she didn't have a pillow. She just wanted a cot. Tommy went to met her at Walmart. And I said, just go get the buggy, get the cot. Do you need a pillow? And she said, I do, because my pillow was full of mold. And I haven't got a new one. I said, get a pillow, and et cetera, anything else. And even then when Tommy got there, he's like, well, don't you need bedding? Don't you need sheets? She said, no, I got everything. So she bought a cot and a pillow. And so anyway, if you guys can help us with that, that would be wonderful. Just get in touch with us. Talk to us after service or text us this afternoon so we can coordinate. Okay, honey, your turn.
Thanks. I just want to reiterate that I was not in the hospital last week. Just for a few moments. I know I'm probably way overdue for a grippy sock vacation, but I am not there yet. Yeah, Stacy gets it. Anyway, amen. God's good, yeah? Open your Bibles to Isaiah 43, I think. go to so many different places. Yep, 43. Now I got to find my verse again because I moved the page. You guys like silence? It bugs a lot of people, right? Not your pastor. No, no. It's the other thing that bugs your pastor. Words. Words. You don't know how hard it is for me to get up here and teach you and preach it to you every week because it's not my personality. I'm getting mad at the Bible right now, so don't just be careful. Here we go. Verse 19. I knew it was in there somewhere. You guys all right? Yeah, so we're going into a new series about shifting seasons because the thing about a new season is you're always in it before you realize it. So what we're doing today is in the next three Sundays, we're going to look at how we can prepare ourselves for the new season and how we can expect that season to be good. Amen? Because we like good seasons, right? Now, autumn is coming. I know it's going to be almost 80 today or over 80, isn't it? It's crazy. And a friend of mine posted, they picked a full box of vegetables from their garden last Monday. I mean, here it is in October, and they're still getting vegetables, fresh tomatoes and fresh vegetables out of their garden. I think it's great because I love fresh vegetables. Kayla and I made a vegetable soup yesterday, and, of course, we made it so that Karen wouldn't eat it because we put kale in it. She's lucky the jalapeno didn't make it. It just got left off the list. But anyway, I mean, if you're going to do a vegetable soup, you might as well put kale in a jalapeno in there. I'm just saying. So a new season, right? I mean, we like seasons, yeah? So here we go. In verse 19 of Isaiah 43, it says, God is speaking to the author here, and he says, I am about to do a new thing. I like new stuff. Y'all like new stuff? I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? You know, when I read that verse, do you not perceive it? I remember that verse in Ephesians that says, is it Ephesians? I think it is Ephesians that says, now to him who is able to do more than I can imagine, right? See, the thing about a new season is your imagination is involved in it. Your thinking, your emotional well-being is involved in it. Amen? So God says, I'm about to do a new thing. Can you perceive it? Can you conceive it? Can you imagine it? Right? I will make a new way in the wilderness. Man, nobody likes to go down the old way, right? And in fact, right, actually, we don't. We love old things, right? We always go back. Hey, it was always better way back when, right? Listen, it's like when I see these TikToks of all these 30-something age people all doing a homestead, raising chickens and goats and rabbits and all that stuff. And they go, oh, this is the life to live. And I thought, my parents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents lived that life. And they were frail when they were old because they worked their fingers to the bone, right? Yeah, I like now. I like a choice of 50 million different channels. I my wife gets me all. She's not in here. No, good, she's not in here. My wife gets me all the time because we're watching television. We're actually re-watching Outlander because the last and final season's coming out next year or at the end of November sometime. And so we're rewatching it, and she goes, I don't even know why we're watching television together. You're over there on your laptop reading stuff. I can pay attention to a show and play with my computer at the same time. Some of my kids have accused me of being a zillennial. I'm not a zillennial in age. New thing. Amen? I like new things. Man, you remember when we went to school and you know, you'd get a new book bag and you're in elementary school, and it just had that smell. And Mom would go to, she would go to Kmart or Sears and Roebuck over in Monroe, which was about 30 miles east of where I grew up, and she would get me new jeans. She'd get those tough skins at Sears, and of course they weren't tough skin enough for Tommy Lee, because she would take my old jeans and cut a portion of the fabric out from my old pair of jeans, and she would sew it from the inside on the new pair of jeans to protect the knees on the new tough skin jeans, because they weren't Tommy tested. But new things. God says this, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Man, only God can take situations where there doesn't seem to be a way, where there's not life-sustaining elements involved, and change everything. A river in a desert, a way in a wilderness. And I know you're probably like me. Whenever I read wilderness in the Bible, I see a forest, a thick forest. But that's not what they're talking about. The wilderness that they're talking about is the south of Israel, where it's actually a desert. And there's a lot of life out there, but there ain't very much water. Right? I'll make a way in the wilderness. I'll put a river in a desert. Have you ever felt like you were a desert? Man, we were singing some song this morning when I came in. I can't remember which one it was. It wasn't one of the first or second ones. It was one of the third or fourth ones. And there was a waterfall up here, and I thought, how great is that? That picture just showing us we're talking about the life that comes out of us and worshiping God, and there's water flowing out. It's a constant flow. Amen? Man, that's what kind of season I want in my life. I want a new constant flow of God's life coming through my life and out of my life. Regardless of what I see with my eyes or fear in my heart or worry about in my mind, I want what God has for me, every stinking bit of it. Amen? So open your Bibles now. See, we went to the right place at the same time. Now let's go to Joshua chapter 2. You guys all right? I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. Actually, it would freak me out if y'all all said, you pastor, you all right? I don't know. You okay? Little Hayden, man. I never will forget that. He was jumping off the back of the couch. And I said, Hayden, please stop doing that. You're scaring your poppy. And he did. Of course, he did it again because he's Hayden. And he gets up there and he puts his hand on my shoulder. And he goes, Poppy, you okay? You okay? So it's the only words he ever said to me. He has called me Poppy once in a while, but he's funny. It was good. Then Joshua, son of Nun. Let's catch up, okay? So here are the let's just call them the children of Israel. It's better that way, right? That's kind of a flannel board term. But, you know, it's still, they're the children of Israel. So they had been slaves in Egypt, you know. You remember the story. You saw the Cecil B. DeMille's, is that Cecil? Yeah, is that, yeah. Moses. I actually like the Bill Cosby one better. But anyway, but we can't talk about Bill anymore. Anyway, so God came on and he set them free, and he sent the guy named Moses to go in there from a burning bush to lead them out, right? So Moses leads them faithfully, listening to God, until he gets almost into the new promised land, and then he disobeys God. And God doesn't let him go into the promised land. Y'all ever feel bad for Moses? Sometimes I go, man, Moses. I mean, good gosh, can you imagine how many times David said no to God? And we don't have one, nothing. Except Nate going to him saying, hey, what's wrong with you? Right? Thank God for the grace of God. Amen. So Moses goes off by himself and God buries him, the Bible tells us. And no one knows where his grave is to this day. It doesn't mean till this day. It was the day that the guy that was writing that in the book of Deuteronomy. But anyway, or Numbers rather. So here we go. They transfer leadership at one of the most crucial times in the whole story of the Exodus. I don't know about you, but a change in leadership at this point, apparently it's exactly what God thought about. Because that's what happened. God went to Joshua and he said, look, if you'll just be bold and courageous and follow my word, right? You know what's funny about that? Joshua didn't live in our time. When we say the word in our time, we think of the Bible, the book, right? Because we love the Bible, we love the book. But I really love the scriptures, but I don't have a relationship with the scriptures. Because in my mind, I keep hearing the words of John that says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when I see the word in the Bible, I automatically think of Jesus. I think of the living Word, because Jesus didn't say, one day, 2,000 years from now, you're going to live by everything you read in a book. He said, life comes from every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And God spoke Jesus. Woo! God spoke Jesus over this earth and the people that it's here. So when you're expecting a new season, or when you're in one that really stinks, because it's real fun to expect a new one when you're in one that stinks. Remember, Jesus is the way. You don't even have to watch The Mandalorian to find out Jesus is the way. Jesus is the word in your life that God has spoken to you. He has declared Jesus over you and in you. You know that scripture in Corinthians that says, everybody that's in Christ is a new creation. Well, when Paul wrote that, he hadn't written Ephesians yet. I wonder if he thought about it when he wrote in Ephesians 1:4, when he said that in the beginning, that before the foundation of the earth, we were in Christ. You talk about a new season. We need a new season of understanding who Jesus is in us and who we are in him. The Israelites were looking for a promised land. We're looking for the promised one. Right? We're wanting to enter in to all that God has for us. What's it called? The beloved identity. A buddy Hanna says, DNA, divine nature awakened. I'm telling you, there's a way in a desert right there. There's a river in a desert right there. Understanding who you are, because see, Joshua in this moment in time was understanding who he was. So he took two guys. I think they're nameless. I don't think they told us who the spies were. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. Don't tell Karen. She thinks I've never been wrong. He sent two spies to go spy out this fortified city of Jericho, because that's where God was sending them first. Isn't it crazy that God takes out the biggest thing in their mind, the thing that worried them the most? They didn't like work up to Jericho. They didn't do all the little nomad people. They didn't do all the little people still sleeping in tents or in caves. They went to the city that had a wall built around it. You wouldn't have done it that way either. Don't look at me. Don't look at me like that. So he sent these two spies, and they sneak into the city to check it out, right? So where do they go to find out about the city? Let's see. Where would I go if I went to the city? I don't know if I would have had the same thought as these two gentlemen had, because they met a woman named Rahab. Oh, Rahab's mentioned in the Bible 3 or 4 times. She's in the genealogy of Jesus. Okay? But that's a really great thing about Rahab. But her choice of profession, though, was something different. Right? Okay? Because I'm trying to word this for a Sunday morning crowd. She ran the best little chicken ranch in Jericho. There you go. That's a great movie with Dolly Parton and what's his name? Burt Reynolds. Anyway, I have to say this. I just do. I say this every time I think about the story. Hopefully those guys weren't married, right? Because how do you explain that to your wife? Nope. What happened in Jericho stays in Jericho, right? No. But the only person that gets saved out of whole Jericho is a woman that ran the best little chicken house in Jericho. Does that not blow your mind? That she's Boaz's like great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother? You realize that, right? She's in the genealogy of Jesus. I mean, here she is going about her day, right? These two spies come in, wanting information. Maybe they knew to go there. The rabbinic writings are really funny about Rahab, because they said that she was one of those popular women that worked in the little chicken ranch in the whole Middle East. Some of her customers were the most wealthiest people of her time and the most prestigious people of her time. That her beauty was renowned. It kind of bothers me that thousands of years later, men are writing about Rahab, a woman that they never met. You know? But they really build her up in the rabbinic writings. But here she is. They go there probably because, I mean, if you were going to look for an information hub, I guess this is an information hub, okay? I guess that's why they went there, right? That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because they have a lot of people going through there, right? And contrary to popular opinion, conventional wisdom, I actually think that men probably are the worst gossipers than women, because we don't call it gossip. We just call it talking about things, you know, right? What's funny is when you get a group of preachers around, not the guys in this town. These guys in this town are upstanding men of God. But I have known pastors and preachers that everything is all about whatever's happening in somebody else's church. So they went there to find information. And Rahab tells them, you guys in Joshua 2? Let me find the verse here. The king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, Bring out the men who've come to you, who entered your house. Starting in verse 3. For they have come to search out the whole land. But the women took the two men and hid them. Way to go, Rahab. And then she said, remember, we're rooting for the two guys. Remember that? Okay. Bring out the men who've come to you, entered your house, woman, she hid them. Then she said, true, these men came to me, but I don't know where they came from, which probably wasn't a lie. She had, however, brought them up to the roof. The roof, man. I can't even say it. It sounds like a dog barking when I say roof. I don't know why, but it doesn't normally sound that way. She laid out that, and she had hidden them within the stalks of flax that she had hidden, that she had laid out on the roof. The men pursued them all the way to the Jordan as far as the fords, and as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. But before they went to sleep, Rahab came to them, the men on the roof, and she said to them, listen to these words of a Gentile woman who hadn't seen manna fall from the sky or a Red Sea split open or water from a rock. She says, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that dread of you has fallen on all of us. And on all the inhabitants of the land, melt in fear before you. For you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, Moses killed Og, by the way, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no courage left in any of us because of you. The Lord your God is indeed God in heaven above and on earth below. No one had ever addressed God in those terms until this chicken ranch manager said it about him. Now then, since I have dealt kindly with you, swear to me by the Lord that you will spare my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. And the men said to her, our life for yours. If you do not tell this business of ours, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you when the Lord gives us the land. Here's the person in the story that I want all of us to be. Not Joshua, not the two spies. I want us to be Rahab. Rahab knew that there was a shift in the seasons. And she was willing to do something that she had probably never done before. She doesn't strike me as a particularly religious woman in the city. Of course, her line of business was perfectly legal in those days, right? Apparently it was. I mean, the king knew where her house was. Just saying, not casting aspersions, I'm just saying. But Rahab knew that things were changing. And she wasn't caught flat-footed. She was caught thinking about how she can save her family, how she can weather the storm, how she can live in the desert until the river flows, until how she can walk in the wilderness until there is a way to walk in. She was a pioneer paving the way. She understood that the winds of change are beginning to blow. And I don't want them blowing on my face, I want them blowing on my back. I want them behind me lifting my wings. I want to be safe. I want my family to be safe. She didn't realize that when she stuck her toe in that river, Rahab's kind of like the priests that were carrying the ark at the River Jordan. When they went to step their foot in the river, that's when the river parted. And they carried the ark into the middle, and the rest and the river dried up from where they were all the way back to the town of Adam. Whoa. Man, that's a prophetic statement right there. God is saying, I am turning back the tide all the way back. Man. And here this woman, she steps into this river of God's moving. And she swept away into all the things that God had prepared for her from the second she was conceived. He took a woman who ran a business that is frowned upon, that is, people look their nose down, yet she was the only person in the whole land to recognize the change of the season. And they told her what to do. They told her to put a red rope out of the tower of her house, because apparently her house was built into the wall. Where you're living, what you have considered to be a sure thing, nothing is sure but Jesus. Not Wall Street. Not the American military, not the Chinese ingenuity. Not the depth and the width of social media. Can I get on my soapbox just for a second? Karen's mom called a few weeks ago. She got a text that says, your iCloud, your cloud storage is too full. Please click here and put in your credit card information. Well, she did. But then it glitched out and it didn't. She never got charged. And I told Karen to tell her, Apple's never going to get rid of your cloud storage. The reason you have a phone from Apple or Android is because they can have your cloud storage. It's your data that they want. They don't care if you can communicate, if you can see what the weather's going to be tomorrow, or your favorite stock's going to be, or your sports scores, or you can share pictures about your grandchild, even when they're, you know, as beautiful as my 16-year-old grandchild, who loves her poppy. Because, you know why? Because Taco Bell's open till 2. And if that girl ever texts me at 1:45, I'm going to get up and go to Taco Bell. I'm just telling you right now. So, nothing is as sure as Jesus. My mama was the same. Her birthday's this month. She'd be 104. Is that right? Yep, she'd be 104. No. Should be 105, Tommy. You can't count. Ooh. Bertha Agnes. Got married. I can't remember the year. I wasn't there. She was young. You should see her wedding photo. She's got her face down like this, and she is just, ooh, she's mad. And she is mad. They wanted to get married on Christmas, but the preacher said, no, you got to wait till the next day. So she got married on the 26th on Boxing Day. Not boxing, but it's a British thing. Anyway, she didn't know about it. She was always the same. When you wake up in the morning, mom's in the kitchen. She's in there cooking something. She's getting things. The washing machine's already going. You didn't have to have an alarm clock in the Lee house. All you had to do was wait for the washer to extract, right? Because she's always washing something. My dad used to go, I don't know what she's washing. It seems like everything's put up, everything's clean. I don't know what she's watching. And I go, I don't know, Dad, but she's washing something, because it never stops. It's funny how it lasted my whole life when I lived there. We never got a new washing machine. It didn't seem like it. It seemed like it just lasted and lasted and lasted, right? My first one lasted over 20 years. I've gone through three since then. Anyway, mama's always a sure thing. You always knew what to expect out of Bertha. If you crossed her, there was pain. If you made her happy, there was joy. You know, it was that easy. If you disobeyed, Jesus help you. I was a very disobedient child, but I knew what I got out of my mom. But Jesus is more sure than my mom was. I mean, he is faithful and true, right? And we like to think of Jesus as younger than Father God, right? We do. We picture him with dark hair, you know, brown eyes, olive brown skin. He's from the Middle East, right? He doesn't have blue eyes and blonde hair. If you ever see a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus, run. Jesus is constant, but he's always leading us into change. Two things today. Is that good? Let me give, what time? It's 11:47. Something's different about this week than last. What is it? Two things that will shape your next season. I'm going to get in there, Francis. She's probably back there watching on stream. Hey, y'all, on stream. The two things that will shape your next season. One is obedience to the thing that God is asking you. That should go without saying. But you know what? We go to God and we want to know why things haven't changed. He goes, you know, and he's just waiting on you to say yes. Isn't it funny how he coaxes you and he impresses on you to the thing that he wants you to say yes to, and you don't say yes, and then you go back to ask him something else, and he's just like, right? Go back to square one and say yes. So if you're ever in a confusing place with God, just say yes. Whatever it is, just say yes to God. Obedience to what God is asking you will shape the season that you're about to walk into. Number two, hope. Hope, of course, is the constant. Was it something I said, Gary? Love y'all. Love y'all very much. Hope is the constant expectation of good. Guys who have football teams that don't always win, we understand, right? I mean, my home state team is the Saints. They had like 4 years where they were a real football team. The rest of the time, they've been the Saints, right? I mean, I got to say this. We got motorbike Bobby Petrino back as head coach at Arkansas Razorback. Did y'all know that? Did you know he's been working there since 23? Did y'all know that? Man, y'all tell me nothing. But keeping your hope alive, because it's the expectation of something good. The people were expecting Joshua to lead them into the promised land. What they weren't expecting was some of the events after they got to the other side of the Jordan. Because we don't always foresee, thank God, the things that we go through during our new season arrival. Because there's a wilderness to make a way in. There's a desert for a river to flow in. It's all part of the plan. We can't shortchange it. If we cut the process short, will be like the moth who had somebody open the cocoon for him and his wings never developed. He couldn't fly because he didn't struggle and fight to get out of the cocoon. We grow in the desert. We grow where there's no water. We grow. Amen? It's in the valley of the shadow of death that we don't fear. Because God is with us. Because the Word is with us. Let's everybody stand. I'm going to close with this scripture. Hopefully, if I can get to it. Psalms 119 says this. 119, 114. Y'all thought I was going to read the whole psalm, didn't you? You are my refuge, God, and my shield. Your word is my source of hope. And remember that when you see the word, I want you to think of Jesus. Jesus is your hope. Amen? Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the written word, and we thank you for the living word. And God, we thank you that when we go through bad seasons and middle seasons and new seasons are coming, that you're always with us, that you do make a way in the desert, that you make a river in the desert. Lord, we celebrate you and your leading in our life. God, give us to ignite our hope. Make it burn bright and let us grasp with both hands and our whole heart the next season of our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great afternoon. Remember to root for the Saints.